This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, was-salatu was-salamu ala rasulihi al-kareem, rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri, wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli, اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم لك الحمد لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك المنان بديع السماوات والأرض ذا الجلال والإكرام. O Allah, for you is all praise. There is no God but you. You are one, having no partner. You are the bestower of great favors, the owner of majesty and grandeur, the originator of the heavens and the earth, Dhal Jalali wal Ikram. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Inshallah, in today's session of Qareeb Mujib, we will be going over some du'as related to increase in sustenance, where we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide us with rizq and to place barakah in it, to increase it for us and to provide us with the best sustenance in this life. Ameen. Remember that Allah Azza wa Jal is Ar-Razzaq. He is the provider. He is the one who provides all of His creatures. Allah Azza wa Jal didn't just create the creation and leave them to fend for themselves. Allah created us all, and He also provided us with the means of subsistence. In fact, Allah has provided for us the means of subsistence in our very home, meaning on this earth. We don't have to go elsewhere, meaning outside of the earth, in order to find sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator. He is our Rabb. So that means that He created us, and He also provides for us, and He provides for all of His creatures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us in the Quran that Allahu alladhi khalaqakum, Allah is the one who has created you. Thumma razaqakum, then He is the one who has provided for you. Thumma yumitukum, then He is the one who will cause you to die. Thumma yuhyikum, then He is the one who will cause you to come back to life. Hal min shurakaikum man yaf'alu min dhalikum min shay'? Is there anyone among your so-called partners whom you associate with Allah? Is there anyone who can do any of this for you? Meaning, is there anyone else who gave you life, who provides for you, who will cause you to die and who will resurrect you? No, it is only Allah who does this. So Allah is Ar-Razzaq, the provider, meaning the one who provides a lot of sustenance. Because وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no creature on the earth, no moving creature on the earth, except that Allah is the one who provides for it. So imagine, there is no creature on the surface of the earth or inside of the earth, in the water or on the water or on the trees or in the sky or by the coast or in the forest, anywhere in the desert, anywhere, any creature on this earth. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides it. And every creature has its own unique needs. What the fish eats is different from what the bird eats, which is different from what the camel eats or what the cow eats. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides every creature what it is in need of. And then you see our needs fluctuate. There are certain times when we are in need of certain things, and then we are no longer in need of those things. We need some other things. Subhanallah, as our needs fluctuate and they vary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Razzaq. He is the one who provides all of his creatures. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the earth وَقَدَّرَ فِيهَا أَقْوَاتَهَا. Yani he has placed in the earth its قُوت. Yani the sustenance that different creatures need are all within the earth. They don't have to go outside of the earth in order to seek sustenance. And remember that Allah is the one who owns sustenance as well. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ. It is Allah who provides. And it is up to him. He can expand sustenance for a creature at a given time, and he can restrict it. He can give a lot to some and little to others. This is all his decision. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah provides sustenance to whomever he wants without measure. Yani there are some creatures who are given in abundance, so much. And then there are some who are given little. وَاللَّهُ يَقْبِضُ وَيَبْسُطُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Allah is the one who expands the sustenance, and he is the one who restricts it. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And to him, all of you will be returned. So when we need sustenance, any form of sustenance, what are we supposed to do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we should seek it. فَابْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقَ. That seek sustenance from Allah. And this means that we make dua to Allah to provide us. And we also use the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in order to seek sustenance. For example, the birds don't just remain sitting in their nests. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided them their sustenance across the fields, across the trees. So the birds come out of their nests seeking sustenance. So likewise, we also have to go and find sustenance. We have to use the means that Allah has provided us. And we also have to ask Allah. We also have to make dua that, Ya Allah, provide us with sustenance. And you see, rizq is something that we are always in need of. Yani there is never a time in our lives when we can say, I do not need food. I do not need drink. I do not need shelter or clothing. No, we are always in need of sustenance. For as long as we live, we are in need. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides us what we are in need of. And we see that, you know, in life, we are tested with different things. And of those tests is poverty or shortage of sustenance, lack of means. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests his slaves with. And when we experience such difficulty or any form of shortage, or we desire more, we want more so that we can do more in life. So for example, you want more money so that you can save up and go for Umrah. You want more money so that you can save up and go for Hajj. You want more money so that you can take care of your family comfortably. You can take care of your parents. You can take care of your loved ones. You can spend generously in good causes. So whether we want the fulfillment of our basic needs or we desire more, whatever it is, then we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sustenance. There are times in our lives when we just have to look after ourselves. And then there are those times when we have to look after ourselves and also our dependents, meaning those people who are relying on us. Then there are those times in our lives when, for example, we don't just have to provide food and clothing and shelter for our children. We also have to pay for their education. We also have to pay for, their needs. So no matter how many needs we have, no matter how great they may be, no matter how many they may be, how different kinds of needs they may be, remember, Allah is the provider. Rizq. Sustenance is entirely in his hand. So we should seek it through lawful means, and we should seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to combine effort and prayer, both. Now, we see in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah number 114, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the dua of Isa alayhi salam, where Isa alayhi salam prayed that رَبَّنَا أَنْزِلْ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ تَكُونُ لَنَا عِيدًا لِأَوَّلِنَا وَآخِرِنَا وَآيَةً مِّنْكَ وَرُزُقْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. We learned that at the time of Isa alayhi salam, the people who believed in him, the Hawariyun, they asked, they requested Isa alayhi salam that is it possible that Allah can send down a table spread of food down from the sky for us? And Isa alayhi salam said to them that fear Allah if you're truly believers, meaning why are you making such a demand? And they said that we are only requesting this so that we can eat of heavenly food and so that our hearts are content. And, you know, this would be a miracle and it would be a means of strengthening our faith. So Isa alayhi salam made this dua then, that Allahumma Rabbana, that O Allah, our Lord, anzil alayna ma'idatan min as-sama', that O our Lord, send down from the sky a table spread of food for us. And when you send it down on us, takunu lana 'eedan, that day will be a day of celebration for us. لِأَوَّلِنَا, for the first of us, وَآخِرِنَا, and the last of us, meaning for all generations. وَآيَةً مِنْكَ, and that table spread of food will also be a miracle from you. وَرُزُقْنَا, and provide us. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ, and you are the best of providers. So this was the dua of Isa alayhi salam, because the Hawariyun, his disciples, they requested that a table spread of food, if we have it, then we will eat to our fill and we can worship Allah, in an excellent way. And we will be certain that whatever you have told us is indeed true. And as we receive this table spread of food, that day will be a day of celebration for us. So Isa alayhi salam made this dua. Now, we see in this dua that Isa alayhi salam said, Allahumma Rabbana, O Allah, our Lord. Typically, we begin dua with the word Allahumma, right? Or we begin dua with the word Rabbana, our Rabb. Allahumma means, O Allah, Rabbana, our Rabb. But here we see that Isa alayhi salam combined both. Allahumma, O Allah, Rabbana, our Rabb. Which teaches us that when we make dua, then we should also use or mention different names and attributes of Allah. We can say, Allahumma, ya dhal jalali wal ikram, ya mannan, ya badi'u samawati wal ard, ya hayyu ya qayyum, ya razzaq, ya ghaffar, ya rabbana, our Rabb. Mention many and different names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and call upon him again and again. So Allahumma Rabbana, and then he said, Anzil alayna ma'idatan min as-sama', send down on us a table spread of food from the sky. Takunu lana 'eedan li awwalina wa akhirina, that will be a day of celebration for all of us, the first generation of us and also the later generations. It will also be a miracle, something that will strengthen our faith. And he said, وَرْزُقْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. And we can also say this dua when we want sustenance from Allah. We can say these words, وَرْزُقْنَا, Ya Allah, provide us. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ, and you are the best of those who provide. وَرْزُقْنَا, Ibn Kathir said, this means that provide us especially from yourself without any effort or work on our part. Because they wanted the table spread of food to come down from the sky. They didn't want to have to go and prepare that table spread of food themselves. Because there's a lot of work, a lot of effort that goes into preparing a banquet, right? You end up spending so much time, so much money, so much effort into preparing so much food. So they said, وَرْزُقْنَا, Ya Allah, you provide us without any effort on our part. And sometimes you see you are in a situation where you don't see many, you don't know how, through what means you can, gather sustenance for yourself. So, for example, you may not have any money in your bank account and you need food. You may not have enough money to pay for your tuition or to pay for your ticket or to pay for whatever it is that you want. But you really want to have it, especially when it is something that will benefit you in a religious way. So sometimes you see the means available before you, and other times you don't know how you're going to make ends meet. You don't know how you're going to pay for the bill. You don't know how you're going to take care of your matters. So especially in such a situation, warzuqna, where you are trying, you're looking, but also look towards Allah and ask Him, warzuqna, provide us. Wa anta khayrul raziqin, you are the best of those who provide sustenance. And you see, Isa alayhi salam, when he made this dua, first of all, he said that provide us with this table spread of food so that it will be a day of celebration and also a miracle, and then we will also eat of it. Yani warzuqna, so that we can eat from it. So he mentioned religious benefit first. He mentioned religious benefit before worldly benefit. And when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sustenance, we should also keep the same order. For example, you're praying to Allah to bless you with money, all right? Why are you asking for money? So that you can go and buy a nice fancy bag and then you can show off? Or you can go and buy some, you can go and enjoy food at a fancy restaurant, and then maybe whatever is left over, perhaps you can give some charity from it. Reverse the order. Always reverse the order. That, Ya Rab, grant me so that I can do good things with this money. So I can spend in your cause. I can spend on my family. I can spend on my parents. I can spend on my relatives, on my loved ones. I can give sadaqah, in the masjid. I can give to those who are in need. And then, Ya Rab, I also want to enjoy it for such and such and such purpose. And there's nothing wrong with that. As we learned earlier, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا. We ask Allah for good in this world and for good in the hereafter. So Isa alayhi salam, first he mentioned the religious benefit of having the table spread of food, and then he mentioned the worldly benefit of having the table spread of food. And we see that he said, وَرْزُقْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. And Ya Rab, you are the best of those who provide. What does this mean, that you are the best of those who provide? That you give sustenance in the right measure, at the right time, in the most perfect way. SubhanAllah, sometimes it is so amazing that you have a certain need and you think of different ways of fulfilling that need. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends you sustenance from where you did not even expect, from where you did not even imagine. And what He sent for you was perfect for you, was exactly what you were in need of. So Allah is the best of those who provide because He gives to His slaves what they need, when they need, and what He provides is perfect for them. It is excellent for them. It is best for them. It is of great benefit for them. And if it was any less or more, it would not be ideal. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to bestow His slaves with, that is ideal for them. That is excellent for them. And think of it this way. The foods that grow in the land that you live in, and especially seasonal food, that is food that you are actually in need of. This is why they say that, eat local. Why eat local? Because the earth, the part of the earth that you're living in is growing the food that you are in need of. In that particular season, and these are the nutrients that you need, because وَقَدَّرَ فِيهَا أَقْوَاتَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in every part of the earth its قُوت, yani the sustenance that the creatures on it need. So Allah is خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. He gives to His slaves the best quantity at the right time and also in the best manner. Subhanallah. The way that Allah provides is excellent. For example, if you look at an orange, right? Look at how perfect the peel is. That it preserves the fruit inside so perfectly, covering it, protecting it. It acts as a seal also, so nothing can permeate, nothing comes out. The fruit is perfectly protected inside, and then you can peel it and enjoy it. And when you peel it and you throw away the peels, they do not cause any waste. They go back in the earth and they provide nutrients. They decompose and get back into the cycle. Subhanallah, there's no waste. And when we package food, Allahu Akbar, how much waste we create when we package food. And when we package food, unhealthy things are basically put inside of the food in order to preserve it, in order to increase its shelf life. And so eating it becomes more dangerous for people than not eating it. Subhanallah. So, wallahu wa anta khayrul raziqin. You are the best of those who provide, because Allah provides sustenance in an excellent way, in the best way, in the best measure, in the best quantity, at the right time. And wa anta khayrul raziqin also means that you are the best of those who provide, because you give to all, those who believe in you and also those who do not, those who obey you and those who do not. Allah is the best of those who provide. What happens with us? For example, if you as a parent provide for your child, what happens when your child hits 18 or 20 and they're still not taking life seriously, they're not studying, or they're not working? Then what do? You say, okay, from now, you have to pay for your car insurance yourself. You have to pay for your phone bill yourself. You have to pay for your clothes yourself. Some people even go to the extent of demanding rent from their children. Subhanallah, right? Why? Because they're saying that, if you don't cooperate, if you don't listen to us, then you can't have all of this, right? You can't take our generosity for granted. You have to start acting responsibly. And subhanAllah, some parents, when they get angry with their children because of, certain choices that children make, then basically they cut off from their children completely. They give nothing to their children. Even when it comes to inheritance, they will not give it to their children. They will give their estate elsewhere, but they don't want their disobedient children to take any of it. Subhanallah. Wallahu khayrul raziqin. Wa anta khayrul raziqin. We disobey Allah day in and day out. Think about it. In just one 24-hour cycle, how many times do we say things which are inappropriate, that are perhaps displeasing to Allah? How many times we do things, do actions which Allah does not like? And even the good things that we're doing, so for example, when we pray, what is the quality of our prayer? When we fast, what is the quality of our fast? Subhanallah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not withhold sustenance from us. He continues to provide us. We learn about Ibrahim alayhi salam. He made dua that, for his descendants, that, Ya Rab, whoever among them believes in you and in the last day, then give them sustenance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded that, قَالَ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَأُمَتِّعُهُ قَلِيلًا. Yani, the one who disbelieves, I will still give him something. Yes, it will be little, but it will be something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ, Because he does not discriminate. He gives to all his creatures. We see that so often in workplace, there's discrimination where women feel that, for example, their work contribution is way more than their male counterparts, but they're not paid equally. Or some people feel that because of their race, because of their accent, because of their background, you know, they are not paid fairly, you know. So this happens. We face discrimination. Sometimes children feel it, that my parents don't treat me the same way as they treat my siblings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is khayrul raziqeen. He provides all of His creatures, whether they are obedient or they are disobedient, they're righteous or not, doesn't matter. Allah is khayrul raziqeen. And warzuqna wa anta khayrul raziqeen. Anta khayrul raziqeen, you are the best of those who provide. This also means that you are very generous, right? Because there are those who will give, but they're not generous, right, in what they give. So for example, somebody will give you certain benefits. For example, an employer will give you certain benefits, right, but not all of them. And you want more, but they're not going to give them. They are, you know, penny pinching. They are being very careful about how much they're giving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghaniyul hamid. He is rich, He is praiseworthy, and He is most generous. Look at how much He provides His creatures. How much? And every second, every you know, portion of a second, how many creatures are receiving from Allah what they are in need of? And so many different needs, so many different kinds of needs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides His creatures. Wa anta khayrul raziqeen. So make this dua for yourself. Warzuqna. Ya Rabb, provide us. Wa anta khayrul raziqeen. You are the best of those who provide. Now, what exactly is rizq? We ask Allah for sustenance. What exactly is sustenance? Sustenance, rizq, is anything by which one profits. Anything that is of benefit to us, that you know, that profits us in any way. Rizq is also a means of support and growth of the body of any creature. So for example, a baby is in need of milk in order to live, in order to survive, in order to grow. People are in need of food and water. Different animals, different creatures are in need of different forms of subsistence so that their body can survive, it can live, and it can also grow. So, for example, as human beings, we don't just need food, we need water, we need oxygen, we need vitamin D from the sun. SubhanAllah. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing a sustenance from so many different ways. From the food that we put in our mouth to the water that we drink. So there's food that goes into our stomach and then it benefits us. And then there's rizq that our skin absorbs. Or there is rizq that, you know, through oxygen we absorb into our body. Isn't that amazing? So rizq is anything which is a source of support and growth of the body. And rizq is of two kinds. There is apparent or material rizq, which is for the body. So for example, food, drink, oxygen, you know, sunlight, things like that. This is all rizq for the body. Part of that is also clothing, because we need clothing in order to keep our bodies warm. And then the second type of rizq is that which is unapparent or intangible or intellectual. So for example, rizq of the heart is love. Rizq of the mind is knowledge, right? Iman, faith. So this is also sustenance. So when we ask Allah warzuqna, we're not just asking for a whole lot of cash. We're not just asking for money. We're also asking for the rizq of iman, the rizq of love, the rizq of good friendships, the rizq of contentment, the rizq of happiness, the rizq of having a spouse, having children. All of this is included in rizq. So remember that every blessing is rizq, every blessing. And we learned that the Prophet ﷺ said about the love that he had for Khadija radiallahu anha, that inni qad ruziqtu hubbaha, I was given the rizq of her love. Yani Allah provided me with this sustenance, with this love. This love is a gift from Allah. And really, as human beings, we need to feel that, you know, that emotional connection with people, that closeness to them, that comfort in knowing that there's someone that we can, you know, feel close to, any intimacy, closeness, attachment. This is a human need. So, إِنِّي قَدْ رُزِقْتُ حُبَّهَا. And when a person feels lonely and isolated in this life, this is more difficult on a person than experiencing hunger. SubhanAllah, if you don't eat all day, you'll survive. But when you feel lonely, when you miss companionship, when you desperately desire companionship, then that is more heavy and difficult on the body than hunger. Now, also remember that rizq is of two kinds. There is rizq that is general. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides all creatures, humans, animals, birds. And this is the rizq, the sustenance, which is for the body. All right, which is for the body. So food, drink, things like that. And this is sustenance which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to all. And which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for his slaves, right, for his creatures, even before they enter this world. The other type of rizq is special provision, all right? Special provision, exclusive provision, which Allah gives to his prophets, his messengers, his righteous slaves, those who worship him. And this is the provision of faith and belief in the oneness of Allah, iman, and gratitude, and such blessings which the heart experiences. And that is sustenance that we should be seeking from Allah as well. You know, when we ask Allah, وَارْزُقْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ, a lot of times we're only thinking about tangible things. We're thinking about a new car, we're thinking about new clothes, we're thinking about a whole lot of money, we're thinking about financial ease, in whatever form it is. But Allah, remember, Allah can give you worldly sustenance. He can also give you spiritual sustenance. And worldly sustenance is such that it will end over here. Spiritual sustenance is everlasting. It is everlasting. It is something that accompanies the slave in the grave. And it is something that that will be a means of success for a person in the hereafter. Eternal happiness, success comes with what? Spiritual sustenance. So that is what we should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And remember that the best form of sustenance is Jannah, paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that whoever believes in Allah and does righteous deeds, Allah will admit him into paradise, into gardens, which are such that rivers flow over there beneath the trees, etc. And they will abide therein eternally. قَدْ أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ لَهُ رِزْقًا. Allah has given such a person an excellent sustenance. So Jannah is the most excellent form of sustenance, rizq, that we should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Now remember that all rizq, sustenance, is in the hand of Allah. We learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us in the Quran, هَلْ مِنْ خَالِقٍ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Is there any creator besides Allah who provides you from the sky and the earth? No. It is only Allah who provides you from above and also from below. Allah is the one who yabsutu rizqa liman yasha'u wa yaqdir. He expands, increases sustenance for whomever he wants, and he is the one who restricts it. So when you see variation, that one person has a lot, another has little, or once upon a time you had a lot, now you have little, or you used to have very little, now you have a lot. This is whose decision? This is entirely Allah's decision. He does this. And Allah يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ, and He is the one who owns all of the treasures also. So He gives according to His wisdom, whomever He wants, whatever He wants. And He is very, very generous. The Prophet ﷺ said that the hand of Allah is full, and the generosity, the generous bestowal through night and day does not decrease his treasures. Do you not see how much Allah has spent on His creatures from the time that He created the sky and the earth? Allahu Akbar. Yani, just think about yourself. How much food have you eaten in the last year? How much food have you consumed in your entire life? How much Allah has given you? And how much Allah has given to your family? How much Allah has given to your community? How much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spent on every creature, has given every creature? And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows His creatures, it does not diminish from His treasures at all. And He is the one who provides a sustenance from above us, from below us. We learned that a person was asked, "Min ayna ta'kul?" Meaning, where do you get your food from? Where do you get your money from? He said, "Min indillah," I get it from Allah. So someone said to him, that does Allah send down dinar and dirham for you from the sky? Yani, why do you say Allah gives it to you? Does Allah rain down money on you from the sky? He said, the man answered that does Allah only own the sky? The earth also belongs to Allah, right? And so whatever that comes to me, whatever that I earn, whether it is that I invest money and I make profits, or I run a business and I make an income, or I go and fish or hunt or whatever, all of that belongs to Allah. Everything belongs to Allah, not just the sky. So everything belongs to Allah. Whatever I have, whatever I receive, comes to me from Allah. And Allah gives to all of His creatures, those who obey Him, those who disobey Him, those who even associate partners with Him, even shaitan, Iblis, Allah provides for Iblis also. Allahu Akbar. In a narration, we learned that Iblis said that Ya Rab, every creature of yours has its sustenance. Yani, you have a portion for every creature, its sustenance. What is for me? What about me? So Iblis was told that anything on which my name is not mentioned is for you. So when we eat, for example, and we don't say Bismillah, then shaitan has a share in that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to let shaitan have a share in what we are enjoying. So when Allah provides to all of His creatures, why should we despair? And isn't it amazing? Iblis makes us think that Allah doesn't care about you. He's not going to give you. Look at how much He has given to so-and-so. But you, no. Because He doesn't like you. This is all false. These are all tricks of shaitan. Lies of shaitan that we must not believe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for His believing slaves in this life and also in the next life. He gives them rizqan hasana, excellent sustenance, good sustenance. Now, what is our responsibility when it comes to sustenance? First of all, we must put our full and complete faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to rizq. Yani, we should put tawakkul in Allah, that Allah is the provider. Allah has provided me before, Allah is providing me now, He will provide for me in the future. He provided for my parents, He provides for me, He will provide for my children. Put your trust in Allah, not in your business, not in your stable job, not in your parents' estate, not in your investments. No, put your trust in Allah, not even in your spouse, not in their job. No, not in their generosity. No, put your trust in Allah because Allah is the provider. And the Prophet ﷺ said that if you were to put your trust in Allah the way that you should, Allah would provide you the way He provides the birds. Look at the birds. They leave their nests in the morning, empty stomach, and they return in the evening with full bellies. Doesn't Allah provide for them? So you should also have faith that Allah will provide for you. Now, having faith in Allah, putting your trust in Allah doesn't mean that you just sit at home. Because the birds, they don't just sit in their nests. No, they go out. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for them. So likewise, we also have to use the opportunities that Allah provides for us. So for example, an opportunity to work, an opportunity to, gain an education so that we can, have better employment, submitting your resume here or there, and working hard, going for work, having a good work ethic, things like that. We must do things on our part, but put your trust in Allah. Don't put your trust in your education, in your degree, in your job, in your work experience, in your work ethic, in your resume. No, put your trust in Allah because He is the ultimate provider. And when you put your trust in Allah this way, then remember that Allah will not forget you. Allah does not forget you. Believe with conviction that Allah provides. In a hadith, we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O my slaves, all of you are lost except for those whom I guide. So seek guidance from me. I will guide you. O my slaves, all of you are hungry except for those whom I feed. So seek food from me. I will feed you. O my slaves, all of you are unclothed except for the ones whom I clothe. So seek clothing from me and I will clothe you. Allahu Akbar. So any kind of need we have, spiritual or food related or clothing related, you know, housing related, means of transportation related, any kind of need we have, be certain that Allah is able to give it to you. Allah is able to take care of your needs. And to think that the creation provides for you, this is complete foolishness. Because the creation is not even able to provide for itself. So how can they provide for you? And if a person thinks that because people or the creation can withhold sustenance from them, this is also a huge mistake. This is a sign of weak faith. And if you get something, you get it because Allah gave it to you. If something is prevented from you, then that's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted that for you. He prevented that sustenance from you. Because Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayta wa la mu'tiya lima mana'ta. Another thing is that when you make dua to Allah, ask with full conviction. Don't have any doubt in your heart whatsoever. In a narration, we learn that once there was a guest that came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent word to his family that if there's any food, serve this person. But there was no food in any of the houses of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlika wa rahmatika fa innahu la yamlikuha illa anta. That, O Allah, I ask you of your favor and your mercy, for none owns it except you. He made this dua, and very soon we learn in hadith that a gift of cooked meat was brought to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, this is Allah's favor and we await His mercy. Subhanallah. So believe that what you need, whatever need you have, whether it is education or money for education or spouse or a job, or children, food, drink, medication, anything that you are in need of, it is with Allah. He is its provider and He is able to give it to you. So ask with full conviction, full conviction. And remind yourself that my sustenance, before even I entered this world, was already decreed, already written. And another thing is that be pleased with what Allah has decreed for you. Because sometimes, you know, we fall into the mistake of constantly comparing ourselves to others. That, oh, my cousin is a millionaire. So-and-so has so much money. They have a house here, an apartment there, an investment there. And me, I am struggling to make ends meet. And when a person falls into this trap of comparing themselves with others, then this leads to unhappiness. This leads to discontent, and eventually it leads to a person being unhappy with Allah even. Because a person is desiring what is with someone else. So don't make this mistake. Whatever Allah has given you, be content with that. But being content with what Allah has given you doesn't mean that you don't ask Allah. You have to ask Allah. And remember that Allah will give you what He has decreed for you. And whatever He has decreed for you is best for you. Because He is khayrul raziqeen. He knows what you need. He knows how much to give you. Because you see this in people, sometimes in your own children, that if you give them a little too much, then they tend to take things for granted. They forget that, you know, they are privileged. They take everything they have for granted, and they start treating you as if you're just their bank account. That they will ignore you, and whenever they want something, then they come to you. And they don't even ask you nicely, they just demand from you, or they don't even ask, they just take it without permission. So it's important that we have conviction that Allah is able to give, and we believe that whatever He gives me is best for me. That whatever condition my Lord has kept me in, that is excellent for me. Because it's possible that if Allah gave me more, that would cause me to become sinful. That would cause me to forget Him. That would cause me to become wasteful. And we learn in the Quran that those who are wasteful are the brothers of shaitan. You know, for example, when you have a limited amount of money that you designate for groceries, then you buy groceries very carefully. And whatever you bring into your house, you use it. But if you don't have any such budget, then what do? You go buy whatever looks good, whatever looks nice, you just pick it up, and then it sits in the refrigerator. And then after a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever, you clean out your fridge and you throw away half of what you purchased, and you're being wasteful then. So if Allah puts you in a situation where you have to budget your groceries, then in a way that's good for you, because it's protecting you from being wasteful. Maybe you don't have that skill of, you know, managing things properly. And mashallah, there are other people who are able to manage very, very well. They only buy what they need. Even when they have a lot of money, they only buy what they need. And whatever they buy, they actually use it. They don't waste it. So be content with what Allah has apportioned for you. And be certain that you can only get what Allah has written for you. So seek sustenance, but seek it in a way that is lawful, in a way that is permissible, without becoming greedy for the world, without making the world your ultimate goal and concern. So adopt moderation in seeking sustenance. Because some people, you know, for example, when they have a good job, a stable job, or a job through which they make a lot of money, and they want to go further and further, they work all the time then. In Ramadan, in the day, in the night, They will not go for Taraweeh prayer because there are things, you know, that they want to complete related to their work. Their worship is being compromised. Their family is being neglected so that they can make more money. Isn't it amazing that a person, for example, takes their family on vacation, but half the time, more than half the time, they're unavailable because they're still working. Or they come home and they're still unavailable because they're still working. What's the point of all of that money if you're not able to enjoy, you know, spending time with your children? Because children don't stay little forever. They grow very fast, very quickly. So if you don't enjoy those, you know, those years, those early years, and you miss that because you're just obsessed with working all the time, then you're missing something so beautiful from your life. You're not enjoying what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you. So adopt moderation in seeking sustenance. You know, Dawood alayhi salam, he was a king, he was a prophet, he was an excellent worshiper, and he would also earn an income with the work of his own hands. And he had very good balance in his life, where he would, you know, dedicate a day to passing judgment, you know, in his people, and he would take their cases, guide them, etc. Another day he would dedicate just for worship. Another day he would dedicate for, you know, his work. So see what is feasible for you, but remember that, you know, your body has a right over you, your family has a right over you, your Lord has a right over you, and yes, you also have to make money. So making money is a part of life. It's not the goal of life. It's not the purpose of life. In fact, the purpose of life is what? It is to worship Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, I do not want from them, meaning from the people and jinn, that they should provide me, that they should give me food. No, it is Allah who is al-Razzaq, who is the provider. And this is an indication that you have the right focus in life, which is to worship Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will provide for you. So yes, you adopt the means to earn sustenance, but don't make earning money your ultimate goal and concern. It's a part of life, not the ultimate goal of life. And also remember that at times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests His slaves with poverty or with shortage of wealth, shortage of food. And at such times, do not despair and do not get upset. We learn in a hadith about how the people who were tested the most severely were the prophets of Allah, right? And then the people of knowledge, and then those who are pious. People are tested according to the level of their faith, according to their level near Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for days in his home, the oven would not be turned on, the fire would not be lit. And Aisha radiallahu anha, at one point she mentioned how if they had oil, they wouldn't light candles with it or lamps with it. They would drink it. They didn't even have that much oil. And for days, the stove would not be turned on. And if ever they had two meals, only one meal was cooked. The other meal was raw food, which is dates and water. That's it. So be content with what Allah has given you, and don't despair, and don't feel pity for yourself if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that He should give you limited sustenance in a certain period of your life. Because the prophets of Allah, they also experienced poverty. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of all creatures, subhanallah, he would be hungry for days on end. So often he would wake up in the night and toss and turn out of hunger, out of thirst. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So if Allah tested his beloved with hunger, with poverty, and if he decides to put us in the same test, why should we despair? And why should we think that Allah does not like us? Don't ever make this mistake of thinking that if Allah gives me a lot of sustenance, that means that Allah is happy with me and Allah loves me. And if Allah does not give me a lot of sustenance, that means that Allah does not like me. No, having sustenance is not a proof of God's love and His approval. Allah gives to all creatures, those whom He loves and also those whom He does not, those whom He is pleased with and also those He is not pleased with. So be pleased with whatever Allah gives you. And that is better for you than having a lot that can make you think that Allah is happy with me. And because of that, you end up disobeying Allah. Now remember that there are some things because of which sustenance is increased for the slaves of Allah. First and foremost, faith and piety. We learned in the Quran that whoever fears Allah, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ, that whoever fears Allah, then Allah creates an exit for him out of his troubles, and Allah provides him from where he does not even imagine, from where he does not even expect. Allah tells us in the Quran that if the people of the towns had believed and feared Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have opened for them blessings coming down on them from the sky and coming to them from the earth. So iman and taqwa, they are a means of receiving abundance in one's sustenance. And remember, abundance is not just with more quantity. Abundance is also related to contentment. Because you can have a lot. You can have your refrigerator full with food. But if you're not, subhanAllah, if you're a super picky eater, then it's possible that you don't eat anything of it. You don't want anything of it. And if Allah gives you contentment and you eat whatever is available to you, you're not a super picky eater. As long as the food is healthy, it is nutritious, it is safe, it is lawful, it is tayyib, you eat it, then look at how much sustenance is available to you. Another thing is the fulfillment of obligations. When people fulfill their obligations, then we learn that Wallahu yarzuqu man yasha'u bighayri hisab in Surah An-Nur, that the people who, you know, in their trade, in their business, they don't forget to fulfill their obligations, such as prayer and zakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides them. So when you fulfill your obligations, Allah will provide for you. Obedience to Allah, this is also something that brings abundance in provision. Leaving sins, Ibn al-Qayyim said that just as adopting taqwa is a means of acquiring sustenance, likewise, leaving sins is a way of acquiring sustenance. And at the same time, if a person is not pious, meaning they don't observe the fear of Allah, they don't observe taqwa of Allah, then they will suffer from hunger and poverty. Another thing is gratitude, because Allah has promised that if you're grateful, I will increase for you your blessings. Then tawbah and istighfar. We learn that فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. When you seek forgiveness from Allah, Allah will send down rain from the sky on you in abundance. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And He will provide you with wealth and children. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. Allah will make for you orchards. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. He will make for you rivers. And He will give you in abundance. When you seek forgiveness from Allah. Then remembering Allah a lot, dhikr, especially tasbih, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, this is also a means of receiving more sustenance from Allah. Another thing is hajj and umrah. We learn in hadith that when a person follows hajj with another hajj, umrah with another umrah, yani, they're doing hajj and umrah consecutively, then what happens? Poverty and sins are removed from them, just as impurities are removed from iron and gold and silver. So poverty is removed from a person when they go for Hajj and Umrah. Likewise, being good to your relatives, Silatul Rahim, staying connected with your family, being good to them, spending on them, you know, this is also something that increases sustenance for a person. Spending on others, anyone you spend on, those who are with you, around you, those you work with, your companions, your friends, your neighbors, your community. When you spend, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Anfiq unfiq alayk." You spend and I will give you. I will spend on you. When you especially look after those who are in need, we learn in hadith that فَإِنَّمَا تُرْزَقُونَ وَتُنصَرُونَ بِضُعَفَائِكُمْ. You are given sustenance and you are granted help because of the weak among you. Meaning when you take care of them, when you honor them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also give you. Spending on students of knowledge, this is also something that brings a person sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spending spending generously. We learn in a hadith that, there are some people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. Why? Because they give others. And if they stop giving others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stop giving them. Subhanallah. And these people are basically a means. Just a means. So you will receive more from Allah when you become a means for giving others. So be a giver and Allah will give you. Another thing is work first thing in the morning. Because the Prophet ﷺ prayed for barakah for his ummah in their early mornings. So when you work at that time, you will have you will receive the dua of the Prophet ﷺ, and Allah will bless you in what he has given you. Another important thing is honesty. Honesty in your in your business, in your buying and selling. Honesty in in your workplace. Whatever work you have, however you need to be honest over there, be honest and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you because of your honesty. Then some ulama say that there are four things that bring rizq. These are, first of all, prayer in the night. Secondly, istighfar at the time of suhoor, at the time before fajr. Thirdly, giving sadaqah. And fourthly, remembering Allah at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. These four things bring sustenance to a person. Pray in the night, seek forgiveness from Allah before Fajr, and continue to give sadaqah, and especially remember Allah at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. Now there are some things because of which people are prevented from sustenance. And these are, of course, sins. When we disobey Allah, Hasan al-Basri said, "As-sahabu fihi wallahi rizqukum." The clouds, by Allah, in the clouds is your sustenance. But you are deprived of it, meaning you see the clouds above you, but the rain does not fall, right? Why? Because of your sins, because of your own wrong deeds. So remember that when we disobey Allah, whether it is in the form of constant backbiting or constantly putting certain people down, right? Whether it is in the form of being consistently ungrateful to our families, whatever it may be, any sins are of many kinds. So because of these sins, we are deprived of sustenance. And because of ingratitude, we learn that what a person has also gets ruined. A person is not able to enjoy that. A person loses the blessings which they already have because of their ingratitude. When a person becomes stingy and they don't spend on themselves, on their family, in the way of Allah, on those around them, a person becomes stingy, selfish, then this also is a means of being deprived of receiving rizq. We also learn that when people kill their children in the sense that out of fear of poverty, they don't want to provide for their children. And at the time, earlier at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even till today, this is common where people will literally kill a fetus or a child that has just been born, because they don't want to have to raise another child. They don't want to have to feed another mouth. This is something that also deprives people of sustenance. Remember that every creature, every child comes with their own rizq. They come with their own rizq. So don't think that because of having children, you will have less, or because of having another child, you will have less. No, you will have more, in fact, because each child brings their own sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider of you and also your children. So don't become stingy over there. Another thing is cutting ties of kinship. This is something that is also a means of deprivation of sustenance. And another important thing is begging people. We learn in a hadith that وَلَا يَفْتَحُ عَبْدٌ بَابَ مَسْأَلَةٍ إِلَّا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بَابَ فَقْرٍ. The slave does not open the door of begging except that Allah will open the door of poverty for him. And when you spread your hand before the creation that you give me, please give me, I beg you, then Allah will put you in poverty. But when you spread your hand before Allah, that Ya Allah, you provide me. Ya Allah, you give me. Anta khayrul raziqin. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. And we see this, that when a person begins to think that people provide, and so you look at what they have, you look at the car they drive, you look at the money they spend, you look at the house they live in, you look at the kind of things they buy, and you think that, oh, they have a lot, they can give me something. And then you start expecting from them. And not just expecting, you start asking them again and again in one way or another. When you begin to ask people, whether openly, directly or indirectly, then Allah will open the door of poverty for you. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Then you will always think that it is people who provide. So then you will always be looking at people, please give me, please give me, please give me. And you will have low self-esteem. You will have low confidence. On the other hand, when you are in need and you ask Allah, then you will have greater confidence. You will have higher self-esteem. Then you will try, you will work. And whatever you earn, even when it's little, you will be happy. You will be content with it. You will be grateful for it. So do not make the mistake of becoming dependent on people's charity. No, earn with your hard work. And whatever you earn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless that for you. You know, in a hadith, we learned that if a person were to go into a forest and, in the desert and collect firewood, and come and sell that, that is better for him than begging people. Can he do anything? If you cannot find good employment, something that is suitable for your education, your background, etc., doesn't matter. Take a step down. Take another step down if you have to. But put in your effort and seek sustenance with your effort and with your prayers. Do not make the mistake of spreading your hand out before people and begging them. Don't put your dependency on the creation, because this is a huge mistake. Now, some du'as we can make, like I mentioned earlier, وَرْزُقْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ, that, O Allah, provide us, for you are the best of providers. Another du'a we can make, اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَارْحَمْنِي وَهْدِينِي وَعَافِنِي وَرْزُقْنِي, that, O Allah, forgive me, have mercy on me, guide me, give me good health, and provide for me. وَرْزُقْنِي. And this dua, we learned that whenever you know a person would embrace Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would teach them how to pray salah, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell them to make this dua. And we learn in you know different hadith about how a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking him, you know, how should I make dua? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to make this dua, that Allahumma ighfirli, oh Allah forgive me, have mercy on me, grant me health and safety, good health, and provide me sustenance. This is something that we're all in need of. Or you can simply say, Allahumma rzuqni, oh Allah, provide for me. Another dua we should make, especially after Fajr, every morning, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a, wa rizqan tayyiba, wa amalan mutaqabbala. Oh Allah, I ask you for beneficial knowledge, pure provision, and deeds that are accepted. Another dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-faqri wal-qillati wal-dhillati wa a'udhu bika min an adlima aw udlam. That, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from poverty. Ya Allah, protect me from poverty. Protect me from qilla. Qilla is shortage. Protect me from that. Having a shortage of things that I am in need of. Wadhilla, protect me from humiliation. And I seek refuge with you from the fact that I should do wrong on someone or that I become a victim of someone else's wrongdoing. And you protect me from dhulm. Another dua we can make, La ilaha illallah al-wahid al-qahhar, Rabbu al-samawati wal-ardi wa ma baynahuma al-aziz al-ghaffar. We learned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say this, إِذَا تَضَوَّرَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ, when he would wake up in the night and toss and turn out of hunger or thirst. And in the night, it happens if you're hungry, you're not able to sleep. If you're thirsty, you're not able to sleep. You get up, you wake up, your sleep is disturbed. And you're constantly tossing and turning. So Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say this at that time, that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, the one, the victorious, Lord of the heavens and the earth and all that is between them, the Almighty, the All-Forgiving. Another dua we can make, Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramik wa aghnini bifadlika amman siwak. That, O Allah, suffice me with what you have allowed instead of what you have forbidden, and make me independent of all others besides you. Because you see, sometimes a person is tempted to use unlawful means, you know, to use haram means to acquire money or to increase their wealth. You know, for example, you find out someone takes a loan from the bank, an interest-based loan from the bank of like 300,000, and then they mortgage a house, and then they sell it after a year, you know, with a huge profit. So they have basically doubled their money. With no money, you know, they basically earn so much profit. So you are tempted, especially when you see examples like this in your neighborhood, or you see examples like this in your workplace. Or for instance, in many places of work, you know, every person will contribute in purchasing a lottery ticket every month. You know, this is a practice at many workplaces where everyone will give a dollar or two every month so that they will buy a lottery ticket. Why? So that when they win the lottery, then everyone will share in that money. Don't fall into that mistake. Ask Allah that, Ya Allah, suffice me with what you have made lawful for me. And protect me from what you have forbidden. And whenever you are tempted and you see people around you using unlawful means to get rich fast, you know, very rich, they're using lies or they're using haram, whatever, to make money, ask Allah, Ya Allah, you protect me. Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramik. Suffice me with what you have made lawful for me against what you have made unlawful for me. And you make me independent of all others besides you. And you let me be dependent on you and you alone, no one else. Another dua we should make, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik wa tahawwuli 'afiyatik wa fujaa'ati niqmatik wa jami'i sakhatik. That, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the decline of your blessings. You see, sometimes you have certain blessings in your life and you're enjoying them, but you don't know if you're going to have them forever. You don't know if you're going to have them for long. So for example, your car is functioning well, perfectly fine. It's possible that it breaks down tomorrow. It's possible that, you know, within a year or two, it's no longer drivable. So, Ya Rab, I seek your refuge and you protect me from the decline of your blessings and from the change, from the removal of the safety that you have given and from the suddenness of your punishment and from all forms of your wrath. Ya Allah, you protect me. Another dua we should make, Allahumma barik lana fi warzuqna khayran minhu. And this especially we should make after eating, that Ya Allah, bless us in this and provide us better than it. So there is no harm in seeking what is better. Allah is able to give you what is better than what He has given you now. Another dua we should make, Allahumma lakal hamdu. Allahumma lakal hamdu kullu. O Allah, all praises for you. Allahumma la qabida lima basatta. O Allah, there is no one who can restrict what you can expand. And if you make something abundant for me, then no one can limit that abundance. No one can restrict that. وَلَا مُقَرِّبَ لِمَا بَعَدْتَ. No one can bring near what you put far. وَلَا مُبَاعِدَ لِمَا قَرَّبْتَ. No one can take far what you bring close. Because sometimes we think that it's because of certain individuals, right? That we have money or we don't have money. You know, sometimes there's another person at workplace, they get the promotion that you were seeking. So you think that they are the problem. So no, if Allah has written something for you, then no one can bring close what Allah puts far. No one can put far what Allah brings close. Sometimes you go to the grocery store, you're standing, you know, in a very civilized way, waiting for your turn. But before you get, you know, to the fruit stall, the watermelon that you had your eyes on is gone. Somebody else took it. Now you're looking at their cart constantly. Oh, they took what I wanted. No, that was not written for you. It was not decreed for you. No one can put far what Allah brings near, and no one can bring near what Allah puts far from you. So don't look at the creation. Don't blame them. Put your hope and your trust in Allah. وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتَ وَلَا مَانِعَ لِمَا أَعْطَيْتَ. None can give what you withhold, and none can withhold what you give. اللَّهُمَّ ابْسُطْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ بَرَكَاتِكَ وَرَحْمَتِكَ وَفَضْلِكَ وَرِزْقِكَ. O Allah, expand to us from your blessings and your mercy and your favor and your provision. And you expand these for us. You give us a lot of your blessings. You bestow on us a lot of your mercy, a lot of your favors, a lot of your sustenance. Allahumma inni as'aluka an-na'im al-muqim. Oh Allah, I ask you for permanent bliss, for permanent enjoyment. Alladhi la yahulu wa la yazulu, which does not change, nor does it go away. It does not decline. You're asking Allah over here for permanent joy, which is the joy of paradise. Because the enjoyment of this world, it eventually comes to an end. But the enjoyment of the hereafter, that will never come to an end. Allahumma inni as'aluka an-na'ima yawm al-aylati wal-amna yawm al-harb. O Allah, I ask you for your favor, for blessings, for happiness, for joy on the day of poverty. And the day of utter poverty is also the day of judgment, because there money will not help. So you're asking Allah for richness on that day, for blessings on that day, for security on the day of war, meaning in the world when there is war or there's fear. Ya Allah, you grant us security then. Allahumma a'idhan bika min su'i ma a'taytana wa sharri ma mana'ta minna. O Allah, we seek refuge in you from the evil of what you have given us and the evil of what you have prevented from us. Subhanallah. And sometimes there are certain blessings that we have been given, but there's certain evil attached with them. So we shouldn't just be eager to have more sustenance. We should be eager that it should be good for us. And anything evil or harmful or dangerous that is with it, we should ask Allah to protect us from that. Another dua we can make, Allahumma inni as'aluka fi'la al-khayrat, wa tarka al-munkarat, wa hubba al-masakin, wa an taghfira li, wa tarhamni, wa idha aradta fitnata qawmin, fatawaffani ghayra maftunin, as'aluka hubbak, wa hubba man yuhibbuk, wa hubba amalin yuqarribu ila hubbik. Remember that love is also a form of sustenance, right? The love for doing certain good deeds, the love of people, that is also sustenance. Friendship is sustenance. So here we're praying to Allah that, oh Allah, I ask you for the ability to do good deeds, the ability to avoid evil deeds. Give me the love of the poor and forgive me and have mercy upon me. And when you have willed fitna in the people, meaning to test them in a certain way, then take me without testing me. And you protect me from the tribulation. And I ask you for your love, the love of whomever you love, and the love of the deeds that bring one nearer to your love. And if we have this in our lives, where our heart is content and satisfied and satiated with the love of Allah and the love of doing things that Allah loves and the love of people whom Allah loves, then this is the most satisfying thing in our lives. I'm telling you, money, good food, yes, it brings some kind of satisfaction, but not ultimate satisfaction. That satisfaction comes from the love of Allah, the love of the right people, the love of doing things that bring a person the love of Allah. So ask Allah for the most excellent sustenance, the sustenance of your heart, not just of your body. And also, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik wa rahmatik fa'innahu la yamlikuha illa anta. O Allah, I ask you of your favor and your mercy, for none owns it except you. When you see that your pockets are empty, when you see that you don't know how you're going to take care of your needs, your family, remember that Allah's treasures are vast. He owns everything. And He has the ability to give you what you are in need of. So call upon Him with faith, with conviction, and have the intention to use the blessings that Allah gives you, the sustenance that He gives you, in ways that are pleasing to Him. Insha'Allah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.